It's our pal, Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation. Good morning, JD. What's going on?
Just trying to keep up with all the CFL free agency news, buddy. What about you?
Yeah, I not as busy as you on that front, but I'm sure things are just as chaotic today as they were yesterday. I guess let's kick off there. Anything that jumps out to you as a massive surprise yesterday? Of course, we had the negotiation window, so maybe start to get an indication as to where guys were leaning beforehand. But anything that completely caught you off guard yesterday in day one of CFL free agency?
It had to be, quite honestly, TJ Jones, the Winnipeg native who played at the University of Notre Dame and was in the NFL for a number of seasons, especially with the Detroit Lions who drafted him, going to the Toronto Argonauts. There had been a lot of talk about Jones coming north of the border after he had been done in the NFL, but I wasn't so sure it was going to come together that quickly, and for Toronto to jump into the mix and pay him $200,000 per season on his contract was one that I didn't see coming to start free agency.
So that's the story. Toronto obviously had a pretty big day. They also spent some big money on receivers, including Tavares Daniels.
That's right. And he sort of leads the new weaponry around Matt Nichols, if you will. Tavares Daniels looks like he'll be the number one receiver there. Of course, the former Calgary Stampeder and Edmonton Eskimo. And you put him with TJ Jones, Jerwan Briscase, and the former Stamp comes over as well, as you have a dynamic aerial attack sort of being assembled there in Toronto. And that likely comes at the expense of Darrell Walker, who made $280,000 last year with the Argos, unless he's going to take a really reduced rate to stay in Toronto. He'd probably have to accept $150,000, then Walker will not be in that Argos receiving core moving forward.
How Darrell Walker remains obviously the top target on the CFL list here on day two. How likely, I know there was some noise yesterday, how likely is a return or reunion with Mike Riley on the West Coast?
It's something that Riley wants, and there's a comfort level there as well with Jordan Maksimek, who's the offensive coordinator for the BC Lions. And that trio, Riley, Walker, and Maksimek, were together in Edmonton for a number of years, in particular when Walker had some of his best CFL seasons with Riley throwing him the football. Riley's been campaigning to get him over there, but the numbers have to match up for BC. And when you look around the CFL, the Lions and general manager Ed Hervey are in a spot where they can slow play Walker and just wait it out essentially until he comes down to their number, because it's not like there's a lot of teams throwing money around, especially on day two.
He is Justin Dunk. Three Down Nation is where you can find all of his good stuff from CFL free agency day one. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter for all the breaking news as well at JDunk12 as he joins us talking all things football right now. Okay, let's focus locally. John Huffnagle came out, said the Stampeders are going to be more active this year in free agency just than they have been in previous years, just where things were at with them, and of course losing some talent in the NFL. How do you look at, I guess, day one for the Calgary Stampeders?
Like you said, more active than usual. Huffnagle said they were going to be. Getting Richard Leonard is a piece that the Stampeders were excited about, a guy that can play multiple positions in the back end. And I was sort of comparing it to Manny Davis when he came over from the Ticats a few years ago and then had an all-star caliber year with the Stampeders and a number of picks when that happened. And some people in Calgary feel like he can be even better than Manny Davis. So a surprise to see Leonard escape Hamilton. But the Stampeders really like the value that they get in adding Leonard and the positional versatility that he brings to the table.
Of course, losing Nick Arbuckle, I know there was some hope that they would re-sign Montel Cozart. It doesn't look like maybe that's going to happen. What can you tell us about American quarterback Dakota Prukop, who looks like maybe he is going to take over the backup duties?
Well, they did re-sign Cozart, so we'll see if he's competing with Prukop. And Prukop's a guy that has dual threat capabilities. He can make some plays outside of the pocket, maybe need some more developmental time or at least time to get used to the offensive system that Dave Dickinson is going to run. But as you all know, buddy, Dickinson just doesn't bring in any quarterback there. He will have to like the possibilities and abilities that Prukop brings to the table. So he's a guy that played at the University of Oregon, was actually lining up on special teams for the Argos during his time in Toronto. So a guy that really, when you look at the rosters and only being able to dress two quarterbacks, could give them versatility and that potential emergency third option, even if he's listed at another position.
What else are you hearing around the Stampeders? What are they sniffing out here as we now move into day two? Have they got most of their business done, or do you expect the Stampeders to still have a couple more things come on here in the next couple of days?
I would imagine there still could be some signings there with Calgary. They're going to sit back and sort of do what they do now and let the market come to them. There's a number of talented individuals out there, and a guy like, let's say, for example, Derek Dennis comes to mind that, to be quite honest, the interest hasn't been where you thought it might be for Dennis. So does a return trip to Calgary happen, or have they moved on by putting Sean McEwen at center and sliding Ucambray Williams out to left tackle? So I would imagine the Stamps are going to sort of pick and choose here and see what's available in the bargain bin, and there could be some more moves here in the near future.
He is Justin Dunk. Follow him on Twitter at JDunk12 from Three Down Nation. All things CFL free agency day two is here. Of course, we're watching the Calgary Stampeders the closest here as we move into day number two. Let's stick in the West Division. How big a loss is Micah Johnson for the Saskatchewan Roughriders?
The Riders don't really feel like it's a big one at all somehow. They didn't even offer him a contract. Not a plug penny was put down on the table to Micah Johnson. They felt like they wanted to prioritize their defensive ends. They gave Charleston Hughes a little bit of a bump on his contract for 2020 and signed A.C. Leonard, which was a raise over what he got the year before, making around $150,000, $155,000 in 2020. So that didn't leave much money when you look at what else they did. Brought the entire secondary back, and a guy like Nick Marshall commanded a substantial pay raise off the minimum deal that he was on before going into the 2020 season. So the money just wasn't there, and it had been spent, and they felt like they could try to at least find a guy to somehow replace what Johnson had done, taking on a lot of double teams there. And people talked about how the stats were down, but he was still a beast for that Riders defense. They just simply didn't have the money to meet the price tag of $200,000 for Johnson.
And the BC Lions not only add him, but they also add a former Calgary Stampeder and Chris Casher to that D-line.
That's right, a guy that's seen as a young and rising talent. The only thing I will say is John Huffnagel doesn't often let young players get away if he wants them. We've seen time and again where he retains those younger assets. So that, for me, raises a little bit of a question mark. That said, Casher has an NFL background and looks like he's going to team over there with J.R. Tavai, who comes over from the Ottawa Redblacks, on the defensive ends for the BC Lions.
Now we're going to bump all over the map here a little bit, but the Ticats had a pretty big day as well. They, of course, one of the big signings, retaining Larry Dean, was huge for them, and they signed Don Jackson from the Calgary Stampeders, who should be a nice mix in that backfield. What did you make of day one for the Ticats?
Somehow, a 15-3 Hamilton Tigercats team managed to get better and had cap space to go out and do it. Now, the market is a little different because the minimum salary jumping up $10,000. So that means literally every player had a built-in raise in their contracts, whether they were a free agent or not. So teams were dealing with that crunch. And the Ticats took advantage of it, due largely in part to being able to get Jeremiah Masoli under contract for less than $400,000 in hard money because of his ACL knee injury. And Dane Evans comes at a discounted rate because he was on a backup deal. So the Ticats had some money to spend and sort of surveyed the market and brought in guys at value. Don Jackson, $80,000 in hard money, for example. Patrick Levels, an East Division All-Star at Sam linebacker, has just agreed to a one-year deal. So they're putting in new pieces there and also being able to retain a good chunk of that team that ripped through the East last year.
Now, you're a quarterback, so I'm going to pick your brain here because he has never really worked out as a starter. I know the Riders have been, after him for so long, going all the way back to the Chris Jones days. They finally agreed to terms with James Franklin. He's the security blanket behind Cody Fajardo. But what did you make of that pickup for the Riders? There seems to be a lot of love for that pickup for the gangrene.
it was smart because you consider what they went through last year with Cody Fajardo when he had that freak injury in practice, and then Isaac Harker had to start the final game, which was a must-win situation for them to get the top spot in the West Division during the regular season. It makes a lot of sense. They're in a year where they're hosting the Grey Cup. You want to have that stability or depth, if you will, at the quarterback position. And the fact that Franklin has 16 starts coming in under his belt and is familiar with Jason Moss's offensive scheme, and Moss is really high on him, by the way, which is part of the reason that Franklin ended up landing in Saskatchewan. It's a really savvy move by the Riders.
Yes, let's kind of wind things up on the free agent talk. You mentioned the minimum salary bump, and I know Brock Sunderland was just speaking in Edmonton. He's been one of maybe a couple of GMs. I'd like to get your read on what the temperature of the league has been, because you had the cap go up, but you also had minimum salaries go up. So how has that affected things? And it seems like, anyways, from afar, the mid crew, I guess, not your high-end players, but the mid crew is what's feeling the pinch the hardest here.
That's right, man. It seems like those guys that would have had salaries between, you know, let's say the $130,000 range to the $180,000 range are not really there anymore. It's created this cap squeeze, if you will, because you've raised the floor, the minimum salary being the floor, but the ceiling has only gone up by $50,000 on the overall cap. So it's really squished the amount of money teams have to play with. It's almost like a double cohort year where the market was just, you know, flooded, let's say, with students trying to get into universities. Well, in the CFL, you had a market where there was a lot of players out there and not a lot of money because teams were dealing with the first year of the minimum bumping up $10,000.
And week one in the books, maybe hard to tell in free agent period right now, especially being so early, but how has the XFL affected things, if at all?
The one major story in terms of the CFL and the XFL was SJ Green deciding to sign with the XFL, going on waivers. He's been picked up by the Seattle Dragons. I've been told that the Tampa Bay Vipers, who have Mark Trestman as their head coach, are trying to trade for SJ Green. So that was the one sort of cannonball into the XFL pool, if you will, from Canada. It hasn't seemed to affected things in the CFL yet from a free agent perspective. There are a lot of guys who are in the XFL that are on neg lists across the league. So from that standpoint, there could be a depletion of talent, but I don't think we'll see that becoming a major factor until we find out if the XFL can actually go longer than one season.
Good chance we'll talk to you beforehand, but I do want to ask you while I have you here on early reads, and I know a lot can happen before April 30th of 2020, but due to the Nick Arbuckle trade, the Stampeders now have possession of the first overall selection in the upcoming CFL draft. Anything you can tell us about where the red and white might be leaning on that pick? I know it's early, but any names you're hearing just yet?
Yeah, it is early, but there's always some chatter around that. The one guy I would look to would be down the highway there, Carter O'Donnell, played at the University of Alberta, has had some NFL interest already, played at the prestigious East-West Shrine Game, a college all-star showcase game for senior NCAA prospects in the United States, and a guy that, depending on what happens with his NFL interest, is going to go very high likely in the CFL draft. So it could be sort of a hometown kid that they look at to try to create some depth and have a stout offensive line at the Canadian positions. There are some other players in the mix that will be talked about as well. There's some stud Canadians, obviously. You know, Chuba Hubbard decided to stay at Oklahoma State. There's a receiver, Chase Claypool, at the University of Notre Dame that's coming out, but he looks like a surefire day one or day two NFL draft pick. So I would imagine the Stamps are leaning offensive line, but we'll see how that process plays out.
Under Huffnagel, looking at Canadian O-line. It's stunning. Stunning development here. This is unbelievable. Good thing I was sitting down for that news, Dunk. You mentioned Chuba Hubbard. He's not going to play in the CFL, is he? Come on.
No, I was saying he went back to Oklahoma State.
No, I know, but even after that, like,
thought about drafting him in maybe the later rounds. Like, we're on Duvernay Tardif.
That's fair. Yeah.
That. He's never going to come up here.
That's fair.
Duvernay Tardif, that is, but you got to at least have his rights.
That's fair. That is fair. Well, good to have your rights on this radio station. Appreciate your time as always, my friend. And like I said, good chance we catch up before the draft, but fun to do this today as it has been busy and the news has been hot and heavy already So get back to it. Follow him on Twitter at JDunk12, and we appreciate your time, Justin.
Thanks, Willie. Good to be with you.
You bet. Justin Dunk, Three Down Nation.